The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in. Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked it.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a Monday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, in the SWBC studios. Welcome in, everybody. We have an earlier edition of the show this week because this guy right here, Nick Harris, is going to the NFL Combine.
Sorry, guys.
John Mashoda is already at the NFL Combine, and Isaiah Standback is climbing mountains in Mount Kilimanjaro currently. So we'll see. Which one do you feel like is more productive? Is it the NFL Combine trip, or is it the fact that Isaiah is climbing mountains, or the fact that I'm a father of three?
Dang, I was just about to say neither. The fact that you had triplets over the weekend.
A weird week for Talking Cowboys, but yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a different feel for sure.
Yeah, how's it feeling?
It's good. So, Lorena gave birth to three healthy triplets.
Love to hear it.
30 weeks on the dot on Friday. She's probably going to say something a little bit because we haven't really released names yet. But if you're watching Talking Cowboys, you're a part of the family. And so, I'll give you the first names. We have Leo, Michael. Those are the two boys.
Yep.
And they are identical boys. And then we've got Noelle. So those are that's my baby girl. So proud dad. You got the dad gang going on here. I'm ready to rock. And babies and mama are doing great. I'm back at work right now because we have much more capable NICU, NICU family taking care of our babies at the moment. And then mama's doing great. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, everything's awesome. We're super blessed and just continue to appreciate the support from everybody and all the prayers and love that Talking Cowboys and Cowboys Nation have sent our way. I feel like it's the new Cowboys triplets. That's what it is. Yeah. That's what we keep calling them. So really excited. I don't have any pictures to show you right now just because they're in the NICU and things like that. I might show you some feet. Some footprints. We've got some footprints coming up soon. We got those this morning, so we'll probably show that soon. But everything's good, man.
Yeah, I love to hear it.
It's a different different way of life. I was talking with Beamer beforehand. Beamer has some children as well, and of course has been a dad for a long time. And I've always looked up to Chris Beam, and so we were even talking about how crazy it gets at times. Yeah. And it's going to be a blast. And they have no choice but to be Cowboys fans. So.
Yeah, I remember back in like week five or week six, Kyle had FaceTimed me, and I knew that they were going in for an ultrasound, and he typically doesn't FaceTime me, so he's FaceTiming me, and he's like, guess what? And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh my God, he's having twins. And I was like, are you having twins? He's like, I'm having triplets. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So it's crazy how fast it went, man. It's cool to see him here, but we better stop talking personal life, or the YouTubers are going to be very upset that we're talking about our personal life on here.
That's okay. We'll talk plenty of Cowboys football. We've got it's an off-season edition. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, though, 817-290-3298 is our text line. We're not going to take any calls today. We've done that the last couple weeks. We'll get back at it when we have a full crew in here. But 817-290-3298, send us some text messages as we'd love to hear from you and kind of get rolling. Before we really get into anything else, we got to get some news and notes.
Yeah.
What's going on around Cowboys Nation?
Right? Man, I feel like there's so much that we could dive into. We could talk about staff hires. I don't feel like we really dove into that a couple of weeks ago. Mike Zimmer's been able to fill out his defensive staff, and there was also an offensive assistant hire that was had over the or not over the weekend, but last week, and still expecting about one more hire as possibly a quality control guy that would actually be able to kind of pitch in on both sides of the ball. But we'll go ahead and start on the offensive side of the ball with that hire that was made. Basically just an offensive assistant. Will Harriger was an offensive assistant on the staff last year. He took the quarterback's coach job with the Carolina Panthers on that new staff. So replacing him was the Boston College offensive coordinator, Steve Shimko. And Shimko, he comes in after one season as coordinator for the Eagles up there in Boston. excuse me, he was dealing with a freshman quarterback, but had one of the top rushing offenses in the ACC last year. So being able to just kind of bring that influence into the building, and it's actually kind of funny, we had kind of seen him around the building even a little bit before it got announced, and mm-hmm. he even has a baby as well. Maybe that's something y'all can connect on.
Great.
And then the defensive staff kind of getting filled out over the course of the last couple of weeks. With Greg Ellis coming back into the building as an assistant defensive line coach, I think that's pretty fun for Cowboys fans. Former first round pick in 1998, and he has experience coaching head coaching stops at Texas College out in Tyler and Southwest Assemblies of God University down in Waxahachie, one on the NAIA level. So it's pretty cool to see him be able to bounce back into the coaching ranks and then get elevated with his first NFL opportunity with the Cowboys. I think it's going to be fun. So assistant defensive line coach Ellis will be. He'll work with Jeff Zagonina, who is the new Cowboys defensive line coach, replacing Aiden Dirty. He comes from the Washington Commanders, and he'll be able to bring kind of a more physical approach, I think, up front. And, you know, Aiden Dirty did an awesome job during his time, and I think it'll be a seamless transition there. And then I talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. I was like, I think for this defensive staff, they need to be able to bring in a guy who specializes in the run game.
Yeah.
Last staff under Dan Quinn, they had the pass game coordinator with Joe Witt Jr. I was saying, let's use that spot for a run game type of guy. They must have been listening to Talking Cowboys, because Paul Gunther is now coming in as the team's run game coordinator. Over 20 years of experience in the NFL, he's worked a lot with Mike Zimmer in Cincinnati and in Minnesota. He's worked as a linebackers coach under Zimmer, and he's worked so many different places as well. He's with the Raiders as a defensive coordinator from 2018 to 2020, so brings a lot of experience. I think it's a pretty interesting staff that's kind of filled out defensively. I think it's going to work for those guys up front. You could tell that there is an emphasis of focusing in on that front seven and being able to get as much as you can out of that over the course of not only the offseason, but next season as well. I think that has to be the focus. I mean, you look at the secondary, right? And you got two all pros there, or three if you want to count Stephon Gilmore if he's back. You got Stephon Gilmore, Trayvon Diggs, DeRon Bland. Then you look in the safety group with Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson. We'll see what they do with Jayron Kearse as well. You know, that group is kind of managing itself at this point. Now there needs to be a focus up front. You're losing a couple of bodies on the defensive line. The linebacker position is super scarce. You're going to have to be able to add multiple bodies there this offseason. So there's going to be a lot of fresh faces up front, basically, is what I'm saying. You want to be able to bring some guys in on the coaching staff that can help assimilate those guys, but also get the most out of them in the run game as well.
I feel like for a lot of Cowboys fans, and if you want to see all of the hires top to bottom and see their names in writing, you can look on DallasCowboys.com. About a week ago, they had a great article that kind of outlined all the moves. But which one do you feel like is the most impactful? Just to take a name out of that list and to put a really impact to the name, which one do you feel like rocks the boat more than others?
It's Gunther for me. I think being able to bring in a guy that's a run game coordinator like that and specializes in the run game, we've seen what he's done during his career as being able to work with the front seven, work with guys up front, and be able to stop the run. That is what he does. And so being able to bring in a guy like that who's at that's his sole focus, I think that's a huge hire for these guys.
It's awesome to hear about. And I think there's ways that this staff can take a step forward. Is it going to take a step forward from a turnover standpoint, from a flash standpoint, and a lot of times maybe even a success overall? Probably not. I mean, yeah, it's the first year of a new staff. It's going to be different than what we've seen previously under Dan Quinn. However, there's a lot of good things that this staff is going to be able to bring to the table. And it depends on how you can fit in those players to how you're going to play those players, right?
Yeah, I would argue the success overall point, though, just because of the personnel that Dan Quinn was dealing with last year. Mm-hmm. Only having one true linebacker and having to deal with injuries in the interior defensive line as well, and having to rotate a lot of guys in.
That's not necessarily the staff's fault, though.
But I'm saying, like, success overall, I think that's certainly a part of it.
Yeah.
We're going to compare at the end of the year what Mike Zimmer's defense looked like and how many yards he gave up in total defense compared to what Dan Quinn gave up in 2023. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're doing that, you kind of have to take personnel into equation. And I think there's going to be a huge emphasis this offseason into adding depth right down the middle of the defense. That's adding a body in the interior defensive line or two, adding a body or two or three into the linebacking core, adding a safety or two into that that back group as well. So I think personnel will play into Zimmer's favor a little bit more. I'm curious to see how they attack defending the run, because we know Zimmer can defend the pass. We know this defense in the secondary can defend the pass. Not worried about that. How can they approach defending the run this offseason? That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, of course, personnel plays a factor. And in doing and building your personnel side of things, you need to have cap space. And the cap ballooned a little bit this past week. NFL announced a record change in the cap hit. It went from $225 million last year, just under $225, and it takes a jump all the way up to $255.4. Now, does this solve all your problems? No, it does not. You still have to finagle the cap and kind of work back and forth and massage that number to get it down. And there's ways to do that pretty quickly, one of which being a Dak Prescott extension. But when you saw this number, did you have the same reaction that I did, saying, okay, this is a lot easier of a path moving forward for this Cowboys team to get under that cap?
It's a Taylor Swift effect, right?
Is that what it is?
What people on Twitter were trying to say.
I can see the smirk starting to work its way up. You were waiting. That's a dad joke that I should have made.
Yeah,
dude.
It is. I think it helps the Cowboys, yes, but also you could kind of look. I think there's pros and cons to it. The pros, yeah, you have more cap space. Yes, you have a little bit more room to be able to, work Dak Prescott's extension and work, bringing in some free agents, but also kind of something that I was kind of diving into over the weekend is how this is going to affect tier two free agents, because those tier one free agents are just going to get a bigger bag at this point because that cap is bigger. So those tier two guys, they kind of get left in that limbo of, okay, do we pick up some of that extra revenue as well, or do we kind of stay where we're at despite this record changing salary cap move? And I think based on what the Cowboys have done in recent times under Jerry Jones in this front office during free agency, they live in that tier two range. So how does that kind of affect what they do at the linebacker position, running back position, even in the secondary or defensive line? I think there's a lot of different equations you could throw out for guys they might go grab in free agency, but I don't think necessarily that it's just like an immediate positive. I think it's going to take some playing out. We're going to see how free agency plays out. I think it's going to be an interesting free agency cycle here in the building, but we'll kind of see here in about a month how that ends up shaking.
So you feel like, of course, the top end guys, the guys that are going to set the market, are going to get that pay regardless because they're setting the market. So it's going to be tougher on teams to build that second level. But isn't that just as important? I mean, to get a bigger piece of depth to put it in that piece of the pie of the salary cap. I mean, if you're looking at teams that have been successful lately, those are the teams that have that second level of player, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That have that.
They have the front level too. They have the Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they have the Travis Kelce's, but they also have the draft picks that kind of add in there. And then you add in different additions along the way that you build that second level of talent. The 49ers, for example, you've got Brock Purdy. Sure, he's on that quarterback friendly deal, that rookie contract. But then you've got guys around him that aren't getting paid top dollar money that are making significant impacts at the second level.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head of a team that pays, a few stars or a handful of stars a lot of money, but don't really have that second level, those second tier type of guys, and they can't make a playoff run as a result.
Kind of sounds like the New York Yankees.
There you go. Sure. Even though they don't have a salary cap, but
salary cap there. But I mean, that's just kind of how they've been. But the Mets. The Mets are there too.
There you go. Either of them, but or the Angels, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
But I think it's going to be an interesting kind of balance that the front office is going to have to play as far as, okay, we can't really go big game hunting because they don't have that much room. Whether they get a Dak extension done or not, that's able to restructure things. But I think living in that tier two range, how does that kind of affect where what kind of guys they can go grab? And also, are those guys kind of feeling like they will be wanting more than what they are going to be receiving? I think it's going to be an interesting back and forth with those second tier guys, not only with the Cowboys and their front office and those guys, but the entire league. I'm curious to see how that shakes out.
And I can hear it now, just kind of the buzzing in my ear of Cowboys Nation saying, isn't that different than the all-in approach that Jerry Jones is wanting to talk about? Because you just said it. You can't go big game hunting because you're in this specific cap spot. How do you get in a spot to where you can go do that? Is it all just extensions and finagling? And just got to find a way
working
to massage
the cap. And I will say, Stephen Jones has always said, you know, we have ways to manage the cap, and they've done a pretty good job of it in the past.
Yeah.
There's been times when they've been kind of in a similar situation as the Saints are this offseason, where the Saints are going in to the offseason $80 million over cap, and they're just slowly working and restructuring and doing deals to try to get back under, and it's working out for them. But I say that to say that Stephen Jones kind of has those same knacks. And I think with what they can do with the cap room, I feel like if there is a guy that they have mutual interest and the price tag is maybe a little higher than what they expected going into free agency, they can get that to work. They can figure that one out. I think if any position they do go and grab a big game type a free agent, it's going to be linebacker. I think there's a huge emphasis around this building as towards a getting a big time linebacker that can stop the run. I know I mentioned Azeez Al-Shaair on the draft show last week. That would be my guy, a guy that can come in and stop the run. That's one of the better run stopping linebackers in free agency this offseason. Would love to see what he can bring to this team.
There's a lot going on there. Any other news and notes before we take our first break?
Man, no, I think we're good. I think we can leave it with that.
There you go. I love it. So cap hit goes from 225 to 255, a $30 million jump, and certainly something that the Cowboys could look forward to. Another thing the Cowboys are looking forward to is the NFL draft coming up in about 60 days. We've got a lot to talk about when it comes to the draft. Of course, we've got the draft show coming up tomorrow, but for our Talking Cowboys listeners, we'll get you caught up on what you might have missed on that other podcast that Nick and I are a part of. We'll talk about that when we come back right after this with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Spent the last week in the hospital with Lorena every day because they have Quaker Oats. It's on the hospital, the breakfast menu.
Isaiah would be happy.
Got it done. I've had my oats in for a week straight.
Isaiah's going to come back from Africa. You're eating oats. You have triplets. It's just going to be a whole different life around
different,
here.
Yeah. Whole different. I don't even know if he knows yet.
John might start eating breakfast.
Yeah, John's going to become a breakfast connoisseur. It's going to be great. Yeah. Like I said, I don't even know if Isaiah knows yet. He doesn't have a ton of internet access out there.
Yeah.
So he may just not have any
idea. I've seen him pop in on Instagram here and there, and it's actually
every
been
once
really
in a
cool.
while.
Yeah, if y'all aren't following Isaiah Stanback on Instagram, he's actually got some really cool, I don't know if it's behind the scenes because it's actually what he's doing out there in Africa.
Man,
but it's
I've
really
got questions
cool
about that, by the way.
What's your question about it, B?
Well, the first one he posted, they were camping out the first night.
Yeah.
And he shows a picture where they were headed, and I'm like, that's a pretty good distance away. Like, could you guys get a little closer? Like,
yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, can you drive closer and then do it?
Yeah. It has looked a little bit different than what I anticipated.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he showed a shot of it, and it's like, it's in the distance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, could they not, like, pull a little closer before they get out of the car?
Yeah. Well, maybe they ran out of, like, cell service or something.
Something.
I mean, you know how it goes. You're a big mountain climber yourself, Beam, right? I think Nick even just walked in the back, so he's muting his mic back there. But yeah, follow Isaiah on there. He's doing great work out there in Kilimanjaro, and really excited to have him back on the show next week. All right, NFL Combine week is here. Have Let's you go. Checked into your flight already? I saw the notification on your phone.
Get off my phone, man.
I saw. Look at here. We got Nick Eatman and Josh Rodriguez hopping on.
We got some people.
What's up,
hopping
everybody?
In.
Now. It'd be great to know.
What's up?
That I'm on the show today.
You're on.
Hey, you're on the show today, Josh.
Yeah, okay.
I just found out like 4 seconds ago that I just decided. I was like, we're going
in. You're
just
going to pop on and make it happen?
What's the hat mean?
It says dad game.
What does that mean?
That's what it says. It's because I'm a father of triplets.
I didn't know how long into the show did we go in before, like first second?
Like 30 seconds.
At least, yeah. We were talking about how it's combine week. John's already out there. Nick's checking into his flight as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
And then Isaiah's climbing mountains, and I was saying, which one's the most productive out of it? And Nick was about to just blurt it out. He'd be like, you had triplets. So that was really the quick thing. Yeah.
But, congratulations, man.
Thanks, dude.
Congrats.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a whole lot of fun. As his eyes are halfway closed.
It's been a lot over the last couple of days, but it's been good. Yeah. It's been good
blink
stuff.
If you need hope. Yeah,
blink if I need sleep. That's what it's going to turn into. But, yeah, we were just about to start talking about the combine and going into NFL Combine week. So, Nick, appreciate you for hopping on. Before we get into it, though, we were talking about the salary cap in our last segment, and that was kind of our initial conversation. How much does the balloon salary cap help this team to finagle to get under that and also keep that Jerry Jones, quote-unquote, all-in approach?
Yeah, you know, for me, I always think that it doesn't help as much as you think because the pie just is bigger for everybody.
Yeah.
But what it does help is before the market starts, like before March, that's where, okay, there's a couple things you want to do. You can kind of, you know, get done a little bit, maybe re-sign some players. Because once the market opens for everyone, that everyone's got, you know, there's teams that have a lot of money. Now they got a lot of money. You know, and so I think it's just going to set the market because it's such a balloon, like you said. I think it's just going to set it a little higher, you know, more players that are going to get more than you thought, probably. And so I don't know if it helps them that much. And beforehand, it might help. But once the you know, really starts in March, I don't think it helps that much.
Yeah,
I think it makes signing CeeDee and Micah more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of where I'm at,
which is pre-market. Things you could do before. Yeah.
Free right, agency. Right.
You're right, yeah.
I just think it makes it a little more like, all right, now we know how that's going to work out. As far as going all in free agent-wise, I don't know how much that really changes our outlook.
And that was kind of what you were saying. Top-end contracts are going to still be top-end contracts. They're still going to continue to set the market.
Yeah.
CeeDee, Micah are those top contracts. Then you extend Dak Prescott to probably make him a very highly paid player as well, more so than even what he is now, just to extend it out and to take that cap hit down for this season. But there's ways you can free up the cap even with getting those deals done.
I don't think this happens, but there is a reality out there that this team starts in 2024 with the highest paid quarterback in the league, the highest paid receiver in the league, and the highest paid defensive player in the league.
Ooh. Which one do you feel like is outside of Dak? Which one do CD. You feel like is more likely? Is CD?
Yeah, CD. When I think CD gets done this offseason. I think Micah gets done next
When you
offseason.
Say highest paid, you're not talking about cap charge for this year.
Yeah, total value.
Yeah,
total value.
Which is fine, too, because the reason why they do it and give them that is so they could have the cap charge would be very low. But it also says you're the highest paid. You know, at some point, you're going to be the highest paid. That's what I always thought was funny about Dak's deal when he signed it at $40 million a year. Mm-hmm. Well, his first year, his cap charge was like 2, and then the second year was like 11, and then like 21. And you're like, at some point, like when it's going to be in the 50s or 60s.
And now we're at some
here
point.
Here we are. Here we are.
Yeah. That didn't take long either, and he wouldn't be the first one in the NFL to have that 50 number.
You look tired.
His name. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
No, you just you look I saw yesterday a little bit, but yeah, you definitely look tired. Seems like there's.
It's not even like the start of it yet. The thing is, like, I haven't even. I mean, yeah, we've had like nurses and doctors and everything in and out of the room the last like 3 days, but other than that, like.
Also, your emotions, too. It's not just like being awake. It's also like the emotions of it all.
Dude, the adrenaline of Friday is something I don't think I'll ever experience again. Like, it was, I mean, it was 1:52, they made the call, and then by 3:05, I had 3 children.
What about when next February, when we've won the Super Bowl, though?
That adrenaline might get close, but it won't get there. Sorry, guys. Yeah, sorry, Cowboys Nation.
He texted me.
It's going to be 3 Super Bowls.
He texted me and said, so, you know, it's funny how things change. It's happening today.
Yeah.
And I was like now? And you're like, as in I'm walking over there now. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Walking to the OR, that is what's happening. Yeah. It was crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
But
and he was calling games the next day.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's the thing. And I said this earlier, like
diapers.
With them being in the NICU.
Gotta make some money, man.
Yeah. That's true. Those diapers are expensive. With them being in the NICU, there's not really a whole lot I can do from a hands-on approach other than provide great support and mm-hmm. continue to make sure that Lorena is taken care of. So when it gets to that point where they're coming home, I was like, I'll disappear. Like, that's when you'll see me not on shows, and you won't see me on certain coverage and things like that. But that's when they go home, and that's still a couple weeks away.
Or yeah.
A number of weeks away at this point. So, yeah, I'll be around for a little bit more. You didn't get rid of me so quickly. I derailed it again.
We were talking salary cap, and I went to that. Sorry.
All those YouTube comments are going to be all over.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible. They're going to be honest today. It's going to be bad.
We can't wait.
You know, you guys might have already talked about this a little bit, but do you think that the all-in approach, like, I don't think they're ever going to go all-in to what the fans are thinking is all-in, you know?
Sure.
But do you think signing one of those, and I say 3 running backs, it might be more than that. Do you think signing one of those guys would kind of be in that neighborhood of all in? Like, if it's a Barkley or it's a Jacobs or Henry, of course.
Yeah, Henry's the big one.
Yeah.
I think it would help. I still want help at the linebacker position, too, prior to the draft. And I don't think that may be a splash signing. That's still one that I think is necessary, though.
Yeah, I think if you get one of those 3 guys, I think that would fit the fans' mold for sure. Mm-hmm. But what does necessarily all-in look like? Is it going to get a running back from one of those 3 guys? And then going to get one of these run-stopping linebackers? I mentioned Aziz Al-Shaair in the last segment, getting a guy like that as well. But then you're working with the cap at that point. But I think going all-in in some ways, there's some approach. Free agency is the first opportunity to do that.
True.
But what does that look like for this front office?
Yeah. And
we don't know.
And it's a term that is not used. And I mean, it's a term that doesn't really apply.
Yeah.
Because all in means I'm pushing in, and if I don't get this Jack on the river here, then I'm going home.
You're done. Yeah.
And Jerry and Steven aren't going home.
Yeah.
They're gonna put in some more.
To you, when was the last time they went all in? Dion?
I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him go all in.
Yeah.
You don't think Dion was an all-in move?
Where it's 1 year or bust. You either get it done or you're rebuilding.
Well, I wasn't here for that when they got him in 95.
I just mean like...
And that was a great team.
Yeah.
I mean, I get... Okay, I'll say this. When you trade next year's one... Let me change that. Mm-hmm. When you trade next year's one, to me, that's a form of going all-in.
Mm-hmm.
When 2018, I think they realized they had a pretty good team. They just didn't have any receivers. So they went and got Amari Cooper,
mm-hmm.
and that turned him around. And they've done it a couple times. I mean, they did it. So I'll take that back. When they did Joey Galloway, they traded 2 number ones for Joey Galloway. They were going all in. tore his ACL in his first game.
Yeah.
So tough.
Yeah.
That one was brutal. Yeah. The all-in approach, it doesn't have to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Right? But it does have to be a considerable effort to do more than what is the norm. Right? And I mean, like, a lot more than what is the norm around Cowboys Nation. I think it would take something like that, a move like that, where you go get an established star, you go get an established individual in the league, and you find a way to supplement it with draft picks somehow this time around.
Don't you think a part of going all in, the phrasing of that, doesn't that also mean sort of mortgaging your future in a way?
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I don't think, granted he said that in a way,
yeah.
I don't see that necessarily happening. I see like the money for sure, but as far as draft picks go, high draft picks for, you know, years to come, I don't see that being a thing because this team relies so heavily on the draft.
Yeah.
That I don't see early picks going at this point.
We've talked about how they need to pick up another pick at some point.
Exactly.
That fourth round is obviously staring at you right in the face, yeah, as far as they don't have one there, and you would love to have one in this draft specifically. I think you could probably see them trade either on draft day or beforehand, trade some a future pick to pick up a fourth or a third or a fifth, mm-hmm, whatever, and just kind of go from there. I think that's maybe where you could see some pick movement, but other than that, I don't see giving up a high-value pick like a first or second round pick to go pick up a player. I just don't see that right now.
But do you think you could still go all in? Without,
yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. It depends on what you do in free agency, though. We'll know in about a month if all in means what we think it means.
Yeah, because sure. I mean, it's different for different teams.
Yeah,
are we trying to do an LA Rams all in?
Exactly. That's a much different one.
So,
what does all in mean to you? This is a good question for the text line 817-290-3298. What would an all in offseason look like to you? And give us your opinion. I'm just kind of interested to see how that lies, because you're talking about trading to reacquire picks this year and to add to the pool this year. That's certainly wagering your future for something that's going to cost you more now and help you out now. But I think it's more likely they trade back from the 24th overall pick.
That's
accumulate picks. I don't think that's an all-in approach, because if anything, you're investing in your future more than you are investing in what you can do right now by trading backwards out of the first round. But I think it's more likely you do that because you need those spots. You need that second level of talent that we were just talking about that could be affected by the cap ballooning and you just running out of that cap space.
I'll tell you what, I've seen 10 tackles that I think can go in the first round. And I'm also kind of throwing Graham Barton and Troy Fountain-Know in that equation as well. And those are two guys that have interior flex. But I see 10 guys. If you're looking at pick 17, 18, and probably only five of those guys have gone, start getting on the phones. Let's start trading back. And I think if you can get back four, five, six spots, you can still pick up one of those guys and get what you wanted going in.
Also, and it's happened twice before, is there a quarterback that's going to fall?
Yeah.
Is there a guy that everyone's surprised? I mean, how many quarterbacks are going in the top five?
It's probably three.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, in the top five, there'll be three.
It'll be Williams, how about in the top May, 10? Daniels, top 10.
That's where we start talking about J.J. McCarthy. Does he? Because I've seen him go seventh overall. I've seen him go late second round.
Same thing with Penix, too, right?
Penix
more so, I think, is comfortably second. I think he would have to have a huge combine.
Let me clarify before people are assuming that I'm talking about the Cowboys drafting. I'm saying, was I've seen it before. It's happened twice. Players fall down in the draft a little bit, and then the Cowboys will make a trade with someone that wants that player for next year's one.
Yeah.
You know, now, I don't think McCarthy's going to be a big fan. Mike McCarthy is going to be a big fan of trading next year's one when we all know that he's got to win this year. Trading next year's one is not, that's not going to be the way. I think he wouldn't mind trading. I'm sorry. This year's number one pick for two next year. He's not going to want that. He wouldn't mind trading next year's one to get another player.
Somebody else. That's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe
No, I mean to get next year's number one pick and he trade now.
Because then if he's sitting on it, he's like, hey, man, I got a new deal. I'm all right.
Yeah, right.
I can figure this out.
True.
All right. When we come back here on Talking Cowboys, I want to have Josh, Nick, and Nick Harris tell me their number one position of interest going into the NFL Combine for the Cowboys, because there's a lot to talk about going into Combine week, and we haven't had a lot of draft talk on this show just yet, so we're going to talk about it a little bit right after this with more Talking Cowboys.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. Black.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. We have a hodgepodge crew this morning. Nick Eatman, Josh Rodriguez, Nick Harris. I'm Kyle Yeomans with Chris Beam in the back. Got some text messages talking through what it would look like to be all in. Mike from Boston saying all in would mean signing a difference maker at linebacker, bringing back Tyron Smith, drafting a center, and signing an above average running back.
I'd take that.
Check. I was just checking the boxes. Available? Right? Sounds good, Mike. Yeah, you got a job. You got a full time gig,
Mike. You say,
Mike? That's true.
I wish Mike would call the show. My show.
He might be calling in the back.
I wish he would.
He said he loves Storyline in this text message. He says, "By the way, what up, Nick? I love Storyline."
Thank you. And I just wanted to call because like I'm sitting on 49 states. 49 states have called the show.
In Massachusetts, it's the one?
It's the one.
That's so
well, he
strange.
Listens. So, Mike, if you're listening still.
Tomorrow.
Give him a call.
1 o'clock.
1 p.m. Central.
You could be the 50th state.
Yep.
Knock it out.
Be number 50. Have you gotten every country, though?
Every country.
You should get Isaiah.
Waiting for that Turkish call. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock.
You should get Isaiah to call from
what country?
Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, that would be a first.
Yeah, so you can knock that one
spell
out.
That.
Check it out. Yeah, check the boxes.
The call from the do you know what country that is? Tanzania.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
Yeah. No, not at all. There's one guy that he's called from like four different countries. He's traveling. I think he's a photographer.
That's awesome.
And he's moving around a little bit. So we keep checking the boxes, different calls.
That's awesome. Would you have known that before Isaiah went? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. I'm kind of a geography nerd.
Oh, look at
really?
You.
Yeah.
Sicko.
Yeah, I really am.
Yeah. Mark says, if the Cowboys don't sign an outside free agent in the first 2 days of free agency, they did not go all in. Do you agree with that statement?
I think that's fair.
I do. I think it's fair, but I think you can still get lucky.
Sure.
You know, by getting, you know, when the money starts going down a little bit. But it's going to be crazy. Anytime you have a major jump in the cap, the numbers are going to be really high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teams have money.
$30 million more than last year. It's insane. Just to bring context into the equation, here are the cap numbers from 2020. 198.2. And we're already from 2020, the COVID season, it's gone from 198.2 to 255.4.
Yeah. I think it's insane. Actually hurts them.
Cap ballooning?
It does. Because there's more teams below you that can have a chance to get better, and there's one team ahead of you that has a lot of cap problems, and that's the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And now they can help out a little bit. They can maybe sign some of their guys. Because I think if they keep their guys and the Cowboys keep their guys, the 49ers are still better.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know if it helps them that much. Not to be a downer on this.
That's tough. I see what you're saying, but at the same time, it's each situation as its own.
Sure. Right?
You got to take care of your own business.
Yeah.
And not – it's almost like scoreboard watching, but you're scoreboard watching.
Yeah. But you better win.
Free agency.
You're right. You're right. It's one of those things. Like, I need these three things to happen, but you have to win
you got to win your game first. You got to have your best offseason anyways. Sure. And like Mike was just talking about on the text line, if you check those boxes, I think you feel really good about what you're doing.
What was the center part of
draft
that?
A center.
Draft a
center. He said draft a center, which
– that would be when you – answer that question or ask that question about combine.
Yeah,
to me, I'll start at center. For me, just what happens at center. I know everyone talks about the one player, the six
Jackson
last
Powers
name
Johnson.
Yeah the law firm of Jackson Powers Johnson.
Jackson Powers Johnson.
But is there others? Are there others?
So
there
others? You look at Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Now he won't compete at combine. He'll be there for interviews. He broke his leg late in the season for West Virginia, but
second round pick.
Or trade back and get him in the first. Right.
His name's starting to garner a lot of attention though because of the toughness aspect.
Yeah,
okay. Tough, like tough as nails. Glass eater, just a guy who's going to give you everything.
I think an interesting center option would be Christian Haynes out of UConn. He played guard for the Huskies up there in the Northeast, but got a lot of reps at center during Senior Bowl. He's showing that flexibility, and he's more than open to being a center at the next level. Talk to him about it in Mobile. I think that's a sneaky option for them to draft in the second round and then go ahead and place at center. I think that would be huge for them.
Are you okay drafting a center and replacing Tyler Biadasz if that center is not taken in the first round? Or does it have to be a first round?
No,
center?
It doesn't have to be. I mean,
just
you
a capable
know.
Guy.
Yeah. I don't think Biadasz wasn't ready as a rookie.
No, he wasn't.
So he was a fourth round pick. I mean, you get what you get. I mean, Frederick was ready as a first round pick. Mm-hmm. And Biadasz, you know, got there at some point. But I don't know. I mean, like, I remember they didn't like Lindenbaum, right?
They thought he was too small. Yeah, Tyler Linderbaum. They thought he was too small.
He looked pretty big in the Pro Bowl in his Pro Bowl jersey.
when he wore his Pro Bowl jersey,
yeah. He looked kind of big in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of good there.
Big pads.
That's still like out of the last 5 years of doing the draft show, that Tyler Linderbaum still one of my top pet kids.
Yeah, you really did like him.
I loved Tyler Linderbaum, and certainly
he slipped to 25.
He's worked out. Yeah, he's worked out. What's your number one position, Josh?
I think it's. Obviously, it's linebacker for me, but I think that's really hard to tell in any sort of practice, combine, training camp situation.
It's film.
Exactly. It's really hard to judge based on drills with linebacker because it's such a mental aspect of the game. But that's kind of my obvious go-to. It's like, obviously, we need the help at linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in some linebacker names here. Edrian Cooper out of Texas A&M. I think that's one guy that two scenarios. I think if he has a really good combine, that he could end up late first round, and that's a trade back scenario. Or, if he kind of stays at the trend that he's at right now, you'd be lucky to see him slip to 56, but comfortably a second round pick. Some other guys, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Brian brought this guy.
Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State. Now, he's a guy that had a lot of injuries during his time with the Wolfpack. You talk about the injuries, go ahead and draft him in the second round.
Yeah.
But he had two knee injuries and a shoulder injury during his time at North Carolina State, but stayed pretty healthy these last 2 years and won the Dick Butkus Award for the nation's top linebacker this past season. You also got Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. That's a second, third round type pick, and your guy Junior Colson out of Michigan.
I like
but
Junior
another
a lot.
Michigan defender. You sure that?
No,
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. He's different. It's different.
Yeah, okay. All right. We'll see.
He's not an edge rusher, and he's not a defensive lineman.
No, I'm with you.
I also haven't given up on Mozzie Smith either. Just for the record.
I really like
Junior Colson. I haven't given up on Mozzie. Junior Colson's different.
Yeah.
That's a different player. He's NFL ready. Mozzie apparently wasn't.
Yeah.
Where Junior Colson, he can come in, he can play 1,000 snaps next year.
No apparently totally about fine. It in my eyes, but it is what it is at this point.
Don't scout the Edgerton helmet, Cooper. Everybody.
Sorry, is Edgerton Cooper a possibility? Like, do you think he makes it to?
I don't think he makes it to 56.
No.
But I think if there's an opportunity where maybe the tackles go early and you don't like what the tackles might be shaping up at 24 and you would like to get that linebacker or the center, then you trade back 6-7 spots and hope that one of those fall to you, whether it be a Zach Frazier or Edgerton.
So your team trade back?
If the board falls the way it could,
okay.
I think there's a lot of scenarios.
Right, and if there's a CeeDee Lamb that's dropping, you know, that you can't believe is sitting there, that I think you got to go that route, especially if it's a position of need.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say this about linebacker, and I've said this on other shows before. They need to make it, in my opinion, they need to make a change in the philosophically. At linebacker, if they're going to just keep getting these guys that run in the 4.5, 4.6 range, and they used to be safety at some point, and they can play a lot in the nickel, and they'd be good to have, not liability, they can match up with tight ends, then that's fine. But the guards are still going to come right after them and try to knock them down.
Yep.
I mean, that's the problem. At some point, they need linebackers that have a little bit more meat on the bone that can go forward and get in the hole and make a play.
Yep.
I mean, they got to have that. Yeah. And they're more thumper at linebacker than they've had in the past.
That's why I like Junior Colson from Michigan. He's a thumper.
Well,
he'll go downhill, and he's big, too. He's big. He's not really a coverage guy, though.
I'd be curious to ask you two guys this. This is kind of a BPA-type scenario, mm-hmm. best player available at 24. Liatu Latu, I think, is the best pass rusher, natural pass rusher in this class. There's a scenario where he could fall to 24.
He's a top 15 player in my rankings, right?
Yeah, same as well.
Yeah.
Now, if he falls to 24 and the Cowboys take him, how do you feel about that? It's an edge rusher. Like, you don't need one that bad to take in the first round, but it's a guy that'll be violent, and it's a guy that can really rush the passer.
Can I just be an old man
here? I'll say his one negative is run game.
Okay.
But,
This is the old man in me that's seen a lot of these drafts. If he is the best pass rusher in the draft, he will not be there at 24.
Yeah, that's
there's just too many teams that will be like, no, if he is really the best pass rusher, they just don't last that long.
This is the opposite of our friend Mickey Spagnola saying, well, then why is he available? This is like, he's not going to be available.
I remember that talk about Thibodeau. Where did he end up?
Kayvon Thibodeau?
Yeah.
Like New York four, Giants. Yeah, it was like top five.
Two or three.
Right.
Or four.
But I remember, didn't one of the Cowboys at 11? Was that the year they had Micah?
Yes.
10 or something like that?
I believe.
I feel like it was like, if he falls? And it's like, then he's not. Then, he got arrested. I mean, that's the problem.
There's a medical concern with Latu, and we'll find out more about it next week. And he started his career at Washington and had a little bit of injury concerns there that kind of just phased him out
that's
of that program.
Why he would drop.
That would be why he would drop.
He had and to also, medically retire from Washington. And then went back to UCLA, got a second opinion. They said, you're okay, and then became one of the best pass rushers in college football.
And I want to emphasize, I don't think he's the best edge in the class. I think he's the best pass rusher in the class. And I think there's a couple of edges that could be above him just based on priority.
Yeah. Right.
But
Thibodeau was at 5, by the way. He was taken at the 5th overall pick. That was the
Amari Cooper draft?
No, Tyler Smith draft.
Oh, Tyler Smith draft. Wow, that was
20. Yeah.
21. Oh, was that draft? Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
22,
I thought
sorry.
He was in the mix for something. I thought it was like, what if he falls? I guess not.
Yeah, I don't. He fell 24. From initially whenever Thibodeau was coming out, they thought he was by far and away going to be the number one overall pick. And to be honest, the number one overall pick in that draft probably should have been Sauce Gardner or Aiden Hutchinson. Both of those guys have been fantastic because Trayvon Walker hasn't done anything, Derek Stingley Jr. hasn't done anything, and Kayvon Thibodeau's been meh all the way through. So,
yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
I mean, so like Tyler rusher. Smith, like where does he rank in those in that first round? Like top 10?
Easily,
absolutely,
easily, easily. Top 10.
Yeah.
I think if you redraft that, he probably goes top 5 if you want to throw in positional value.
That draft out of the first round picks. The only players that have made a Pro Bowl are the two I mentioned, Hutchinson, Gardner, and then Kyle Hamilton from Baltimore. He made a Pro Bowl. Tyler Smith, Tyler Linderbaum, and Jermaine Johnson.
Wow. I
Linderbaum.
Just think
I love Jermaine Johnson too. He was fun. Talk about Senior Bowl making money. That's
he did. That was, he made that's money. The thing about two. You know, since 2010, and that's that we're talking like 14 drafts now. Hmm. Two first rounders that the Cowboys have taken in the first round did not make the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. One of them was Mo Claiborne. The other one was Taco Charlton. You know, and Tyler Smith. You know, Tyler Smith was one until he made it this year. You know, yeah. It just goes – and obviously, Mozzie's in there too. Mozzie, sure. The third one. But I just think the body of work of what this – you know, the draft is, it's really easy to look at last year's draft and go, man, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And so far, it has been.
Yep.
But I think that their body of work has been amazing, especially when the high picks, those first-round picks.
And if you don't think they're talking about that on the opposite side of the building and saying we might have missed on some guys instant impact-wise last year, we need to find some instant impact this year, I guarantee they're having those conversations. Yeah. That's probably
they're getting an extra third-round pick and a guy named Overshown who just didn't play last year.
That's exactly right. All right, that does it for us here on Talking Cowboys. Nick, Josh, thanks for stopping by.
Of course. Popping I figured you need a little.
Little pick me up,
little help, yeah.
Appreciate it. Nick had it all. He was going to carry course. The whole show. He had the whole thing rolling.
He can carry this
thing. I will say there was a lot of relief when you two walked in.
For Chris Beam, for Nick Harris, Nick Keatman, Josh Rodriguez, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys.
Come on, Nick.
Come on, Nick. We'll see you.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!